Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. My God is awesome. Welcome to the Rev Up with Rev Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Reverend Alicia Smith Withers, pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. Today is the day after the 2015 East Coast blizzard. And no matter where you are listening to the show today, I'm sure you've heard about this blizzard from New Jersey to Maine, or perhaps you're in the blizzard between New Jersey and Maine. I have been in many blizzards, so I understand the challenge of it. I'm sending you love and light, and I'm praying that you are warm, that you have enough food and enough to drink, and you'll just make your way through it. In some respects, it wasn't as bad as expected, and in other places, it has been as much as expected. But we know that this, too, will pass. So listening tonight, I hope this will kind of help you move through the blizzard time. And if you're not in the blizzard zone, then you're just simply listening and hopefully enjoying this time. Tonight, my guests are two gifted leaders of the National Capital Area YWCA, Ms. Tamara Smith, who is the Chief Executive Officer, and Ms. Alicia Adams, who is the Chief Programs Officer. If the YWCA is not important to you, I want you to ask yourself, why not? It was important to your mother, it was important to your grandmother, are important to your great-grandmother. So keep listening to find out what's new at the YWCA National Capital Area. If you're a first-time listener, welcome to you. I invite you to tune in on a regular basis. Also, you can always listen on demand and easily turn your work time, computer time, exercise time, or leisure time into an opportunity to rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. The Rev Up with Reverend Alicia Blog Talk Radio Show is a Keeping It Real show about life. I minister to the people of God through all phases of their experience, even up to the higher life of the spirit. This show is a safe place to talk about everything from pop culture to politics, and we really do. We talk about everything. Spirituality, sexuality, you name it, we can talk about it right here. So I invite you to follow. If you're on the Blog Talk Radio site, click follow so that you are receive update messages when I have special broadcasts other than Tuesday evenings. Now and then for special events, there's often an additional show and sometimes a Sunday show. If you're in the Washington metropolitan area, I invite you to worship with the Pavilion of God on Sundays. Now and then I have people who visit our congregation who've heard the radio show first and are in the metropolitan area visiting, and you're welcome. We are located at 6401 Chilham Place Northwest, 6401 Chilham Place Northwest, in Washington, D.C. Our service is at 12:30 p.m., and people often laugh and say, you can go someplace else and then still get to the Pavilion of God, or you can sleep in and get to the Pavilion of God. But you're welcome to come, and we would love for you to worship with us. Our vision is a world where Goliath do not prevail. Think about the Goliaths in your life. And our vision is a world where Goliaths do not prevail, and a world where the people of God know and trust the promises of God. Our mission is to share the promises and power of God with the people of God. And we're living out that mission even through Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. Our motto is Mission Possible. Mission Possible. We're having a Bible study that is every Thursday evening at 6:30. Our topic is personal and spiritual awareness. So consider joining us on Thursday evenings at 6:30. Every Wednesday at 6 a.m. and 12 noon, we have a prayer line. You can call in and share your prayer request, or you can even email me or text me before that with a prayer request. Our prayer line phone number is 605-475-4333, 605-475-4333, and the access code is 213-781, 213-781. Now, you know, I do have something I am so excited about. We have started a new ministry, a jazz ministry, and our first jazz ministry third Friday evening was January 16th, and we had Sherlita Settle, who just really put on the most powerful jazz show. We had a wonderful time. We can certainly say a good time was had by all. And every third Friday at the Pavilion of God, and our next guest artist will be Anita King. So save the date for February 20th. February 20th. She will be our next featured jazz artist. So we're really a church that looks to meet the people of God where they are, and we believe in joy. And part of that joy is experienced through the medium of jazz. Remember, the Pavilion of God is a safe place, and it is sacred space where you can come as you are. Tweet me at Rev Alethea, R-E-V-A-L-E-T-H-E-A, or follow me on Instagram at Rev Alethea, R-E-V-A-L-E-T-H-E-A, or you can always email me at revalethea@gmail.com. Like us, the Pavilion of God, on Facebook. That's where most of our information is. If you're on Facebook, you'll always see information about the show, our jazz artists, our all of our ministries, our rites of passage ministries. There's a lot that's going on at the Pavilion of God. So thank you for tuning in this evening. Before we get into our dialogue, I want to begin where everything really begins for me. And that is the place of the opening of the heart and the mind through prayer. So I'm going to ask you to just pray in your heart as I pray. Dear God, tonight we come before you and ask you to disturb us. Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrive safely because we have sailed too close to the shore, disturb us. Disturb us, Lord, when the abundance of the things we possess, we have caused us to lose our thirst for the water of life. Stir us, Lord. Stir us to dare more boldly, to venture on wider seas where the storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of the land, we shall find the stars. Oh God, oh Lord, we ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes, to thrust us into the future in strength and in courage, in hope and in love. It is in your name, Jesus, that I pray. And I say humbly and trustingly, amen, amen, and amen. If you're just joining us, beloved, welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. This is a powerful evening. I am the host of Rev Up with Reverend Alethea, and you can join the dialogue or write on the blog if you have comments or questions. If you want to talk with me or my guest this evening, just dial 347-945-7723. Tonight, I am so thankful to have as my guest Tamara Smith, who is the Chief Executive Officer of the YWCA National Capital Area, and Alethea Adams, Chief Program Officer of the YWCA National Capital Area. We're so fortunate to have these dynamic, powerful women with us tonight. Ladies, welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. It is a delight to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Great to be
great. Well, you know, I have so many questions, and I'm going to tell you, I often just kind of think about who is on the show and get a lot of information. But tonight, I did not have to even think about the questions. So many people shared comments and questions with me, Tamara Smith, about the YWCA. Many of the people that I got questions from were people who had been involved with the YWCA over the years and wanted to know different things about the Y. But before we get to some of the questions that have already been sent in to me, I just want to say that the Y is more than an organization. It's an institution. It's a part of the American culture, and the social construct is like apple pie and Girl Scouts. And it for me, it is a real piece of Americana. And I don't know whether it is for everyone, but I will say to the listeners that the YWCA in the metropolitan area has been here since 1905. So it is a part of the landscape of the District of Columbia and the metropolitan area. And I want to ask you, Tamara, how did the YWCA capture your interest? What about this institution, what about it that appealed to you?
Wow, what a great question, Reverend Alethea. And again, thank you for having us on this evening. You know, I actually left a 25-year career in healthcare in the Washington, D.C. area, and I was working with low-income families in the Medicaid managed care arena, in the hospital administration arena, and I realized that there were thousands of women in this city that needed a sense of hope, that needed a sense of direction. They needed and wanted opportunities to be all they could be. And I realized that I wanted to use my talents and my experience in the field of leadership and health administration to help lift up women. And the mission of the YWCA, which is the empowerment of women and the elimination of racism, totally resonated with my passion and the work that I wanted to do to support young girls and women. And the history of the organization, as you mentioned, you know, we've been a beacon for women for over 110 years now.
Wow, that's amazing. That is amazing for so long. And I just want you to go back, Tamara, because it's the mission and vision, this mission and vision of eliminating racism and empowering women is relatively new. I mean, I must admit, I didn't focus on the mission and vision before. The vision and mission, which is really just I think, particularly striking. And
yes,
that was adopted in just before, was that right before you came to the organization or just after you became?
About 10 years. It's been about 10 years. They were always, you know, seeped in the Christian movement. The organization was
right.
always about service. It started out at many college campuses, and then there's a world YWCA that's very active promoting the rights of women and equality of women. And the work that we're doing in the United States, and particularly in the National Capital Area, is around supporting young women, youth, to stay in school, to achieve and be and plan all they can be, and supporting adult women with educational programs and workforce readiness programs, and really pushing for advocacy for women and for women's rights, particularly around equal pay, around preventing violence against women, particularly around legislation that supports women and family and advocates for social justice. You know, the there are so many disparities and impacts of poverty for women of color. There's disparities in educational attainment. There are racial disparities in income. So our elimination of racism is really trying to reduce those disparities in that income and educational attainment and in employment, et cetera.
I find it, I don't know about the listeners out there, I find that so powerful. So many organizations, especially nonprofit organizations that work with low and moderate income communities will be focusing on education, other kinds of measures for growth within the community, education and employment, and other issues where there are disparities. But rarely do you see these organizations boldly speaking about eliminating. I mean, there's no apologetic around this. It simply says eliminating racism, and where the challenge is clearly noted. My feeling is you can't change what you don't acknowledge, and many of our organizations don't clearly acknowledge racism as a primary component with poverty and lack of education and many of the other barriers that are there, but not clearly noting that. So I find that so amazing. And is that something that excites you?
Absolutely. You know, I've worked in healthcare, and now I've worked in the nonprofit sector for 6 years, and I volunteered in many, many different capacities in the nonprofit sector over my 30-year career. And, you know, race and racism is a big issue that exists today, and
mm-hmm.
bias, and you know, so many issues are facing us, you know, based on income, race, based on religious preference, based on many differences. And we have so much work to do. And I believe that we have to open the dialogue. We have to bring people together because we are all humans and we must begin to respect and love and treat each other in much more humanistic ways. This is, you know, better for society. And I believe that women will make the difference in the way that we develop and evolve as a society because we are naturally more compassionate and humanistic.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you also, with the area of racism, is that do you do any particular training around what racism is as a dynamic and what the impact of racism is? I mean, I many organizations do specific training, especially for a majority culture and for those people of color who are not always clear about the nature of racism. I don't know whether the YWCA has focused on education that is specific to the issue of racism.
That's a great question. I would say that there are many Ys around the country that have very clear academic curriculum around race and racism and facilitating conversations on how we address the issues. The YWCA National Capital Area has taken more of a programmatic approach and a direct service approach around
mm-hmm.
reducing racism because institutional racism is the factor that has resulted in the high school dropout rates and the low and the high poverty rates and the high unemployment rates and the low college acceptance rates and the economic disparities and the disparity in health. And we want to work on the ground and in a direct service way to address these disparities that exist because of race and institutional racism. We are working with the YWCA USA, which is looking to build national best standards and practices around creating more dialogue, doing more training, and working with organizations and the YWCA to bring these conversations to the table. Because it's really about starting conversations first and then broadening those conversations and the individuals in the conversations and bringing them to organizations, to systems, and to the entire, structure. Because there are many, many problems that exist not only between individuals and our biases and our perceptions, but really between organizations and the structure that exists in the system.
Oh, wow. I didn't want to cut you off, but I'm ready to applaud. That's fantastic. It's something that is, because the conversation has gone on so long for so many years and decades, centuries, we at times think we're finished with it, but we have to learn that we have to continue the dialogue and find new ways of entering the dialogue and inviting other people in different ways and over time. And that is spectacular. You have led a real turnaround for the Y. Can you help us understand what the turnaround has been for the YWCA National Capital Area? I know that you fairly recently, moved to the U Street Corridor.
Yes.
And the address is on the blog, and the address is 2303 14th Street Northwest, Suite 100. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. Help us understand about the big shift from being downtown Washington, D.C., to where you're located now. That's part of the turnaround. The other has been a programmatic shift. Can you help us understand why, what the benefits are, and what excites you, and what should excite the community about this?
Sure. So, the YWCA was a pillar in the organization. It was involved in the women's suffrage movement back in the early 1900s, in the civil rights movement, in the women's rights and equality movement, and now in the social justice and the women's economic empowerment movement. Many people, however, associated the YWCA with sort of its fitness and aquatic center downtown on 9th Street across from the Martin Luther King Library. And although over the years there were many programs that existed, there was a training program for nurses, there was summer camp, there were a variety of non-traditional training programs for women, most people really did not know the mission was empowerment of women, elimination of racism. And so we needed to find space to accommodate the work we're doing with adult education, workforce readiness, which really helps women be empowered and have the skills and the plan and the direction to support themselves and their family. And we needed a location where we could really, and facilities where we could provide youth programs, and Alethea can talk more about that. And so we had a building that was 30 years old, and it was not up to date in any way, shape, or form. And we were only using limited space in that building. So we sold it, fortunately, and we moved to Florida and 14th Street. It's a very vibrant community, the revitalization of 14th Street and U Street Corridor. There's a lot of mixed families and income, a lot of new young entrants, but there are also stable communities and families that have been there for many years. So we are serving a population that comes from all parts of the city, Ward 8, Ward 7, Ward 5, Ward 1, Ward 2, and they are coming to our facility at 2303 14th Street. We have multiple classrooms, programs day and evening. Alethea will talk about it. But we know this is a great space. It's accessible by metro, by bus, and we really love it. It's been configured in a way that allows us to really have classrooms, community space, that really helps us do the work that we're doing. So I'm excited because we were able to plan it out and configure it in a way that meets our needs, that meets our mission. Our mission, by the way, and our vision is that women and girls of color from high-need communities in the region have the resources and support that they need to be successful personally,
oh, wow,
educationally, and professionally. So we have to start from the young girls, first grade to 12th grade, and then we need to get the women that are older that may have fallen off track and maybe didn't finish school, but we want to get them back in, and we want them to get their GED credential, and we want them to think about their career and their income and what can support them and their family. So the space on 14th Street is exciting. It's vibrant. We encourage anyone to come down, take a tour, and we would love to introduce you to our programs.
Well, that's wonderful, because many people with high needs often won't even frequent that community. And what a powerful invitation it is into the all that life has to offer, to say, come here to this location and let's join together. I think it's wonderful. It is a very vibrant community. I actually learned about the location from one of my church members. So I am applauding you in the location and this major turnaround for the YWCA National Capital Area. Alethea, I want to invite you into this, and certainly, Tamara, I'm going to come back to you in a minute. Can you welcome again Alethea to the program, Chief Programs Officer? So I know you are busy day in and day out. Help us know something about the programs. If you could talk about a few of the programs and what's exciting you right now about your program. I think she's still there. Oh, I'm sorry. Alethea.
Glasses?
Did I start again, Alethea, because I didn't have you on the speaker. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Our programs consist of adult education and workforce development classes, and they're really focused on, as Tamara was talking about, reducing and eliminating economic disparities by giving students education, giving them work readiness skills, life skills, all of the supports that they would need to be successful that they may not necessarily have at their reach out in the community or within their family. We are constantly looking for ways to improve the way we provide services. We have a comprehensive team of professionals. We have a social worker on site that provides case management. We do assessments to make sure that we know where everyone stands when they come through our door, whether it's an academic assessment or whether it's an occupational assessment. We do a whole process coming through so that we make sure that we are addressing every need that an individual coming into our program may have, and that we are either providing support or we are making sure that we're connecting them with support that will help them to be successful. Because really, most of our students who are coming to us, they've been out of school for quite a bit of time. Our average age of our students are anywhere between 25 and 44, and then we have some younger students, and we accept students 18 and over. So we have a variety of age groups dealing with a variety of life issues and challenges, and so they really need to know that we're not only there as a program, but we're also there in their corner and supporting them in whatever ways that we can. The majority of our programming is focused on academics, though, because that's probably the primary way to give people a leg up, per se.
Well, I think that's really helpful, because that's not something that many people necessarily immediately identify with the YWCA is the academic issues program. So I thank you for that. But a specific question that was given to me was, let's kind of run through a scenario. Someone wants a GED. And so this particular person asked me, well, what do I do to to get into the program? Where do I go? Is it, you know, how long is it? You know, the standard questions that I get as a pastor is, how quickly can I get done? Will they support me in this? And they're very frightened. Many of the young women that I've met, especially those, as you said, past 18, there's the loss, the regret, the sadness of not having completed school for a multitude of reasons. So kind of run through the story for them. What would they have to do?
That's a great question. And first of all, we want everybody who comes through our door to understand that they should not feel, you know, ashamed to come through our door. That's the first step to really making a change and moving forward. So we make sure that everyone that comes through the door knows that we are there for them. The first thing that they have to do is either give us a call, or if they have internet access, we do have an online application that you can submit, and it asks a variety of questions just to give us an idea of who you are and what your needs are. We have both applications for just our adult literacy and workforce development program, as well as one for our occupational literacy or training, vocational training program, which is customer service certification. Once you submit that application online, it goes directly to a live staff person, and that person will call you back and have a conversation with you on the phone in regards to what your needs are, what are you looking for in a program, if you've thought about that, what are your goals. And then from that point on, we'll determine whether or not we are an appropriate program for that individual and make sure that if we're not, that we also provide them support and referrals to programs.
And that's because often people get lost when the program is not an exact fit for them.
Exactly. And one of the things is that we are part of a variety of partners in the district providing adult services, and we all have our unique ways of providing that service. And so our goal is never to let anybody go without service. Even if we can't serve them, we make sure that we, you know, get our partners involved to make sure that their needs are met some kind of way.
Well, I want to applaud you for that, because I think one of the, you know, frankly, with some programs, when you're told that this is not one that you can't afford it, the hours don't, you know, fit for you, or you need additional kinds of support, you're simply told no, 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 and this is a person who might have gone through lots of obstacles already that they weren't able to overcome, and then that becomes another obstacle without any support. So I think that that's remarkable. I will say, when I talk to people on this program, and my listeners know that in most cases I've kind of called or done something myself, and I have met such friendly voices. It may be a little thing, but for many of us, just having someone who's going to be pleasant with you on the phone is a real invitation into community. And I want to restate what you said. You also have a literacy program. And for the listeners who are not real sure what a literacy, that is critical for many people who are already in the workplace, have great jobs. Some of them need support in reading.
Exactly. And that's a very good point that you made, because some people think that, okay, if I have a high school diploma or I don't need to get my GED, I may not necessarily need this program. But our program is not just focused on, you know, getting your GED or, you know, just having some place to go. It really is about how you better yourself. And so we have students that come to our program that may have a high school diploma, they may have a high school diploma in another country, or they may need some additional literacy skills, or they need to improve their math skills. And we do a full-out assessment to see exactly where you are. And we sit down with you during that process, and we tell you, this is where you are, this is what you need. And we work through a plan with the individual.
I think that's fantastic. Can you share just a little bit about domestic violence and how you work with issues of domestic violence?
Yeah, so we when we come across individuals with domestic violence, progress in the program, or they may have disclosed something to us during, you know, a session with our case manager in that situation, we deal with that on a very individualized basis because we want to maintain confidentiality for our students. And so based on what this particular situation is, our social worker will sit with that individual sometimes once a week and actually work through and devise a plan with them, connect them up with the appropriate resources, whether it's housing, whether it's counseling, whether it is other sort of supportive services such as food and clothing, transportation assistance, whatever it may be that will help that individual get out of that situation that they're in so they don't have to feel like they don't have anywhere else to go.
Right. Reverend Alethea, I would also say that, you know, we work with young girls, and Alethea and her team has developed a program called Fighting Back. It's a peer mentoring program around educating young girls and teenagers in particular around how to develop healthy relationships, how to avoid being entrapped in the sex trafficking, transactional sex trade business, how to build self-esteem. And this is a peer mentoring and a peer training program that has been supported by the United Methodist Women's Foundation, and we're hoping to grow it and expand it because the needs are great. You know, behavioral health and self-esteem issues really impact how young women are subject to violence and to sexual abuse and many, many forms of abuse. And the work is really, really critical. And in another area, the YWCA advocates legislatively on the Hill for the Violence Against Women Act. It was reenacted about a year or so ago. We were very active on the Hill, and we really fight for funding for programs that support domestic violence, prevention, awareness, and support, et cetera. So we're active from an advocacy perspective as well as a direct training perspective.
Oh, that is phenomenal. You know, I am so happy, again, to hear this. So what I want to ask is, you're doing what many churches believe must be done, and there are a lot of faith communities, Christian and other faith communities, that are committed to social action and really attempt to do some of the things that you're doing. How can other institutions support you in dealing with issues of domestic violence, if that's are some of your other programmatic interests? If a congregation wants to support the Y, they may not be able to take on some of the programmatic issues directly themselves. How can other nonprofit organizations or even some for-profit organizations support the YWCA National Capital Area Y?
That's a great question. There are many ways to get involved to support us. One way is just to volunteer time to be involved. We need mentors. We need part-time instructors in the evening program, in the day program. We need tutors. So we need individuals to get involved and to be role models, because our young girls and our adults need to see other people that are working and have survived challenges and then can help tell the story, as well as share and be able to tutor, mentor, and to help with the instruction. So volunteering is one way. A second way is, we would love any formal organization that wants to partner with the YWCA. We have a manager of volunteer and donor engagement, and we would love to invite them in to come and have a tour, talk with us about what some of their interests are. We've worked with the links. We've worked with the various sororities. We've worked with different community-based organizations that want to come and talk to our students and want to come and help support our work. So I would suggest our website is www.ywcanca.org. My phone number is 202-626-0707. 1-800-273-8500. I would encourage organizations to reach out and let us know if they want to get involved. We would love to host meetings of organizations to learn more about what we're doing. And I just really appreciate the fact that you've allowed us to share our story and some a little bit about the programs that we offer, because it really is about supporting each other.
A community endeavor, absolutely. And I'm going to say so many community organizations are very concerned, and there's always, and they're often trying to reinvent the wheel. And rather than supporting an institution like the YWCA, and sometimes it's that they actually don't know. So I'm hoping and that my listeners will share this with their local chapters of their sorority, with their church groups, the women's groups within the church. There's so many creative ways that many faith communities approach many of these issues, but they often need to support other institutions such as yours to really move the concerns forward in a positive way. So they can volunteer as mentors, they can come in for tours, they can share with you what they're doing, and you can help them decide how they can best work with you. So there's so
exactly.
many.
Exactly, and we are more than happy to come out to any organization and talk with the congregations and talk with their membership about ways to get involved. It really is about creating partnerships and joining together. There's no one organization that can do it all. There are many young people that need our support. There are 60,000 people in the District of Columbia alone that don't have a high school credential. And there are just so many people that need our help and support. So this work is important, and we want to build partnerships. So we're happy to come out to any organization and talk about ways we can work together.
Well, I just think this is fantastic. I'm excited about it. What's on the agenda for you in the next 6 months or so? What's coming up? Anything you'd like to share?
You know, we're very excited. One of the things we've not talked about is our whole mission to empower young professional women. We have a Young Women's Leadership Council. They've been meeting and gathering for about a year. We're about creating an opportunity for young women to understand opportunities for service via volunteerism, serving on the board, helping them develop their own professional expertise and capabilities, networking and supporting one another. And so we have an annual leadership summit, and we recognize young women. We want to create more opportunities for young professional women to be involved in service and be involved in networking and supporting each other. So we're very excited about creating this pipeline of young women who will be the leaders of the future. They're leaders of the future now. They're
That's
so
right.
engaged and passionate about many, many issues. You know, that's one thing we're excited about. We're also excited about, you know, there's so much work to do in the social justice front. There's legislation around anti-profiling, racial profiling. There's another series of pieces of legislation coming up, and we need help. You know, equal pay for women is important. Making sure women have access to sick days so they can take time off to take care of their families is very important. And there's some various legislation that's coming up that really we need to get engaged to help support women in their own economic empowerment.
Well, you know, I just got a question and was sent in on email to me, and I do want to take one moment and ask. I was at the White House a little over a month ago, and one of the issues that was talked about as a primary concern in communities, in the African-American community, and I must admit with that entire information, the briefing that was given to us at that time, the fact that most surprised me was the impact of sex trafficking on the African-American community. And this person is asking, do you have information about sex trafficking? And so I found the question an interesting one. Is that something that you are focused on in any way?
Great question. Do you know the average age of a young woman going into the sex trafficking trade is 13. That is a 6th, 7th, 8th grade person. And this huge problem in the District of Columbia and around the country. And the program that I mentioned earlier, the Fighting Back program, is directly aimed at educating young people about the dangers and the ways in which people entrap them into the sexual transaction trade and the sex trafficking business. And it teaches them about healthy relationships and what are unhealthy relationships and where to go for help and how to access support systems. It's a huge issue in this area. We want to develop this Fighting Back peer mentoring program. We do need funding, we do need support because there's a curriculum, but we need to train more individuals to go out into church communities and school-based communities and engage their peers in the conversation about how to protect themselves and how to avoid getting involved in this terrible, terrible problem.
Alicia, I thank the person for the call, for that question. And I have someone on the line now. So I want to make sure I get the callers in. Good evening, caller. This is Reverend Alicia with Rev Up with Reverend Alicia. Welcome to the show. Do you have a comment or a question? 301-731. 301-731, are you there? Well, I'm hoping they can hear. They may not be able to hear now, but I'm going to let the mic stay open for them. So if you have a question that you'd like to bring to the table, please speak up. But the sex trafficking one, thank you so much, Tamara, for talking about that. I must acknowledge that I'm one of the people that's pretty versed on issues of sexuality. And that's something that I'll try to see what other people in the community that I know that I can invite to the table to become engaged with this issue. When we heard it discussed at the White House, I was surprised at the numbers, and that's what you're talking about. The impact on the African-American community was just tremendous, much more than I thought. And as you pointed out, at a very early age, 13. And sometimes younger.
Yes. There's a huge problem here. And, you know, we have to get men involved in the dialogue, too, because this is a two-way street here. We need to educate men around how we need to avoid this situation, and we need to educate young girls, and we need to educate parents and the community, because many people have no idea what's going on.
Yes.
And, you know, young girls think that, you know, people are befriending them. And the next thing, and we've had many stories where young girls go out and they're socializing and doing this. And next thing they know, they are entrapped. They're taken out of the city and they're in that whole sexual transaction and sex trafficking world. And it's very scary. And, you know, teenagers are troubled folks. You know, we know there's lots of things that go on from a behavioral health perspective with teenagers. You know, they're rebellious and all of that. But we have to protect our young girls.
Yes. And I don't think I can emphasize this too much, the surprise. And for the clergy who are listening and others who are social workers and those who are supporting various aspects of the African-American community, the statistic that was offered at the White House was that the highest percentage of those involved in sex trafficking, which not caught me by surprise, were African-American females. I would not have thought that they were the highest percentage. But we need to know that it's impacting many communities, but certainly having a significant impact on the African-American community. And I applaud the YWCA National Capital Area for addressing this issue, talking about this issue. Many of us, we can't, again, change what we don't acknowledge. And we begin with dialogue. We would begin with education, and we begin to form our programs and approaches to dealing with the issue. So I really think that this is a powerful issue, and thank you. I have a couple of callers. For whatever reason, we have technical difficulties. It may be a tribute to the blizzard. We'll claim that as part of the challenges that we're facing this evening. But I thank you for, Alicia, for being online and talking about the programs this evening. Tamara, thank you for talking about your goals, what's next for you. And I'm going to invite you to come back whenever there's a new program that you'd like to introduce and share with this audience, and any other requests that you may have from the faith community in particular and others who are engaged in supporting the community at large. You're always welcome at this table.
Well, thank you very, very much. We really appreciate it. And, you know, one thing I didn't mention, we're going to do some more two-generational programming. We're engaging the female caregiver and the teenager. So we're really excited about our future and would love to work with the faith community to further the mission and to support women and girls.
Well, wonderful. And so if you're looking for a speaker at your sororities or your church groups or community groups, and there are many community groups throughout the metropolitan area, and I'm sure that Tamara Smith would be willing to meet you and talk with you and plan a time to share the information and the great work that the YWCA National Capital Area is engaged in. Ladies, thank you so much for being with me tonight, and I will certainly invite you to come back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night. We are so fortunate to have had our guests this evening to talk about the YWCA National Capital Area, Tamara Smith, Chief Executive Officer, and Alicia Adams, the program's officer this evening. You know, I could not help but think about how significant the YWCA National Capital Area has been in my life. As a young mother, I went to the Y when it was located on 17th and K Streets Northwest. I took my infant with me to be a part of the baby swim class and attended exercise classes for postpartum women. I met one of my dearest friends at the Y who was in the baby swim class, and our babies have grown up together, and now our babies have babies. When an institution has programs that fulfill a viable vision and mission, lives are changed, and the impact can be seen for generations. My story is rooted in the 80s and 90s. Times have changed. The needs of women in the National Capital Area have changed also, and yet the YWCA is rising to meet the needs of women in the most essential way. Thankfully, times have changed. Albeit baby swim classes had an impact, what could be more fundamental for a moral society than to eliminate racism, empower women, and to have well-designed programs that enable these goals to be realized? When we seek to eliminate racism and empower women, there will be women like my friend and myself who will have stories to tell about their experience at the YWCA, the friends they made, the support they received, the lessons they learned, and how the YWCA helped to shape their lives and the lives of their children and perhaps their children's children. We should be thankful for Tamara Smith, Chief Executive Officer, and Alicia Adams, and all who serve at the YWCA. So, my invitation to you this evening is to take advantage of the YWCA National Capital Area programs. Share the information with others, those in your churches, those in your sorority, those in your communities. Share the information. There's certainly someone who needs their GED, certainly someone who you know who needs a literacy program or other kinds of support. I also invite you to support the YWCA and give financially. Every gift, small or large, enlarges your heart and helps in a big way. Give, small or large, gifts to the YWCA. I know many of you make an effort to give. Stretch one more time and give there. My other invitation, beloved, is to keep listening to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. And I'll be back with you next week to help you, help us all, to rev up, accelerate, and energize our lives. Keep listening so we can rev up, accelerate, and energize our lives.